This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump changing course in the trade war with European allies. The president announcing he is now delaying implementing those 50% taxes on European Union goods until July 9th. He had threatened a June 1st tariff date. Ceasefire talks stalled in the fight between Russia and Ukraine.
We've seen 3 days and nights of continuous strikes, many of them focused on the capital, Kyiv. President Zelensky again appealing to the US and Europe to intervene. But President Trump speaking out in some of his most critical comments yet of Russian leader Putin, saying he's gone absolutely crazy, but also criticizing President Zelensky, saying everything out of his mouth causes a problem.
ABC's Ian Pannell. Israel continuing its airstrikes in Gaza, hitting a school where families had been sheltering. Israel says that school was being used as a Hamas training center. The Senate now debating the budget the House passed last week. Some Republicans want even bigger spending cuts. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Milwaukee's health department is pushing back against statements from HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He said federal teams are aiding the city's response to lead paint hazards in schools. City officials clarify that no such federal support has been provided, with only a short CDC visit unrelated to the school crisis. The city continues to address the lead emergency without the CDC's childhood lead poisoning experts, who were laid off in recent federal cuts. As local officials handle the crisis alone, they warn that the absence of federal expertise is hampering efforts to protect children. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its April report revealing home sales experienced a significant downturn for the second consecutive month, falling 10.4% compared to April 2024, even as the median price climbed during the same period. Despite this monthly decline, year-to-date sales were down by a more moderate 3.5% compared to the first 4 months of 2024, buoyed by strong sales in January and February. Statewide, housing inventory saw a slight improvement, increasing 5.9% to a 3.6-month supply in April, yet this figure remains considerably below the 6-month supply indicative of a balanced market, which would necessitate a 67% increase in current listings. Inventory levels varied across the state, remaining static in larger metropolitan counties, with improvements in micropolitan counties and rising to a 5-month supply in rural counties. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers return to the practice field tomorrow for the start of OTAs, organized team activities. It's the next step in the team's offseason program to see what they've got in rookie wide receivers like Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, selected in the draft. Hockey, the Milwaukee Admirals season came to an end last night. They lost 3-2 at home to the Texas Stars to end their playoff run. Baseball, Brewers with a 3-game series at home against the Boston Red Sox. Today through Wednesday, the crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates on Sunday, thanks to RBI doubles from Caleb Durbin and Bryce Terang, who was just 1-for-24 heading into the game.
I'm not even really scuffling. I'm hitting balls hard, just right to people. It's big to get that run, but like I said earlier, it's Durbin to move the chain. You know, those guys to have good at-bats is the reason why I even got an opportunity. So you can go down a big rabbit hole.
That's the Brewers' Bryce Terang. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today right around 72 with wind northeast becoming east at around 5 to 10. Tonight cloudy, our low 52 tomorrow with a few scattered showers and a high near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 47.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to a program with some of our highlights from recent interviews. And that would include, in just a couple of minutes here, an interview with Devin Remiker, one of three candidates to be state Democratic Party chair. We talked to William Garcia in our last hour, and we'll hear from Joe Zepecki later in this hour. Before we hear from Devin Remiker, just to let you know, tomorrow we are back live. We'll have author Laura Bird on, and she will talk about some of the hot new summer reads coming out and how she finds out about these hot new reads before everybody else does. We'll also talk to a Dan Schaefer on Wednesday this week instead of Tuesday. Also on Wednesday, we'll talk to Matt Brusky, part of a coalition of groups that is asking Governor Tony Evers to veto the state budget bill if it does not pass to a level that supports schools and other vital services in the state. We'll also talk to Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action. On Thursday, Sean O'Malley talking all about the markets and money. And we'll have Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. That's all coming up. But first, here's my conversation with Devin Remiker, one of the three candidates running to be state party chair. We started by talking about the state of the race so far. Tell us more about the campaign. You've picked up some very key endorsements and met a whole lot of people along the way.
Absolutely. Well, picked up a lot of mileage, that's for sure. I have traveled the state from Hayward to Kenosha and to Chippewa Falls, all over. And I think my campaign now has hit 100 public endorsers, some folks who are also supporting me, but not ready to slap their name on the website yet. But I'm really proud to have, Chair Ben Wickler, former Chair Martha Lanning, former Chair Martha Love, former Chair Jeffrey Neubauer, and over 20 county party chairs from every corner of the state. Along with a host of other party delegates, leaders, joining my team. And I think folks are really just ready and itching to get back in the fight as quickly as possible this year and are excited to support me as the candidate who can do that.
I don't know if the endorsement from Ben Wickler, how much of it comes as a surprise to folks, if they thought that the outgoing chair was not going to endorse throughout this race, or if it's something that makes sense, since, as he said, he's been working side by side with you for a big chunk of his time as chair here. Would you say that Ben's endorsement were you expecting him not to endorse throughout the entirety of this race for chair?
You know, I got into this race not knowing if he would or would not endorse me, but I'm very glad he did. Obviously, Ben is someone that I have worked closely with for the past 6 years. About half of his tenure, I was his executive director, so working as his right hand. And honestly, I think that a lot of folks are just hoping that a lot of the great things that we have built together over those 6 years can continue and that we have the resources we need to compete, that we can keep running the best in class program and be the strongest state party in the country. And I'm absolutely honored to have his endorsement and really excited about the reception I've already got from having that out there in the world.
Does that how do you feel like that is going to translate? Because obviously Ben was well regarded in the state, and one could certainly say very well regarded outside of the state, bringing so much attention to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin that wasn't there previously. Do you feel, though, that that puts a little extra pressure on you to be following in Ben and keeping that national spotlight on Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think all of us candidates felt like, you know, there was some pretty, pretty big shoes to fill at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And, you know, I think my unique strength is I just happen to know how big those shoes are better than anybody else, having worked with them so closely. But certainly it does add a little bit of pressure having his direct support to make sure I could rise to the occasion. But I feel really confident given my experiences, whether it was heading up the People v. Musk, the effort that not only helped Susan Crawford win the Supreme Court race, but also, you know, sort of sent Elon Musk packing from the White House. And as we heard yesterday, maybe from politics in general, I think I have a pretty good track record of being able to excite people in the state and engage audiences nationally as well.
We're talking to Devin Remiker, a candidate for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That decision will be made by delegates to the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells next month. I've asked before, and I will ask all three candidates again, to help break past any initial, say, geographic assumptions about candidates that, you know, you'll be seen as the insider candidate slash the Madison candidate. Joe Zepecki might be seen as the Milwaukee candidate or the outside of the current party candidate. William Garcia would be seen more as like the outstate or the rural candidate. But in all cases, since we can't combine the best of all of you into a blender and get one, you know, super chair, we have to ask all of you, how do you break out of those perceived boxes? What is it that people should know about you beyond, you know, what makes up that initial feeling? Like, well, you've been inside DPW, so if we vote for you, there won't be much to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think I sort of came to DPW from a bit of a different background. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, out in the country, as we called it, out on County Highway 42, which a lot of people know as they're driving up to Door County through Two Rivers. And I was on an acre of land surrounded by farm fields that my great grandparents bought from a farmer. We weren't farmers ourselves. You know, definitely was a very rural upbringing. And then I went to school at UW-La Crosse. I sort of was kind of like the outstate political operative for the first half of my career in politics, working for State Representative Steve Doyle and then Congressman Ron Kind after that over the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. So although I've certainly been at the party for a while, I think I do bring a somewhat unique perspective given my political experience on the ground. And I've been really glad that I had that because it helped me figure out that, you know, we need to make sure county parties get more support all around this state. That's something we did through the KIND campaign, helping to support year-round offices like the Portage County Democrats. And it makes a huge difference for county parties to be able to have that home base and that presence in their community.
Well, I know, Devin, you've hit on a lot of these themes already. I think Tony writing on YouTube gives me a good opportunity to let you kind of put these, a lot of what I've asked you about in your own words, in terms of one overarching view. And from Tony, it says, what is your vision? Why should I be excited about Devin Remiker leading the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
Great question, Tony. Thank you. So ultimately, my vision is about how we evolve the party to its next iteration. And I think each cycle we learn something. It is a learning experience in wins and in losses. And I sort of think about when I look at the long view of what the party's been able to do, starting a lot of our work with year-round organizing under Chair Lanning and built upon by Chair Wickler, really taking everything we do to new heights. And we now have an organization that both organizes year-round, supports candidates up and down the ballot, no matter how tough their districts are. We have to figure out how we sort of push to that next level. And I think that the way that we're going to do that is by making sure that we are allocating our resources to expand our program and open new programmatic tracks that can really make a huge difference. How do we sort of get 80% of the return on 20% of the investment? And when I look at sort of our county party structure and our party structure, I think that is a place where we have the most room to grow. I think part of the reason why, as Democrats, we have sometimes struggled to reach people is that even if we're knocking on doors and we're doing it year round, there's something that just feels inherently a little transactional about someone kind of asking you questions, taking notes. I think that we need to expand into more of a holistic community presence all around this state. And quite frankly, we need to rebuild trust with voters that have lost faith in the Democratic Party. And a lot of that comes down to sort of national trends and national campaigns that we don't have full control over here in Wisconsin. But I think we all have to do our part and make sure that we are showing up, listening to folks, and that they can see themselves and believe in the Democratic Party again. And I think this year is going to be a lot of putting in that work, rebuilding trust so that we can lock arms and march forward in 2026. Because ultimately, to me, this comes down to making sure that we can win a trifecta and actually deliver a real policy change for the people of Wisconsin that's going to improve their lives and put to bed the era of Republican obstruction that we have had for over a decade here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So in terms of what are you building toward, I think that word trifecta probably captures it as well as anything else we could say, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it's about. I mean, I think that winning's great. I've helped to win a lot of elections in Wisconsin since 2018 and onward, and even before that in my other roles. But ultimately, winning isn't the measure of our work. The measure of our work is being able to pass policies that improve people's lives. That's why we're all in this fight. And that has to be our North Star.
Yeah. I mean, again, as somebody who was there the last time there was a trifecta, and it was only for 2 years, you know, 2009 and 2010, and then along came the Tea Party and everything else as a result of it. Most importantly, the Great Recession, which, you know, was the seeds were planted long before that. So there was only so much a Democratic trifecta could do. And yet we see, from a national standpoint, the first 2 years of the Clinton administration, the first 2 years of the Obama administration, the first 2 years of the Biden administration, you see tremendous progress that can be made when, you know, when Democrats are given that trifecta, whether in Washington or Madison. So, I mean, party organization is nice, finances are nice, but it really does come back to that trifecta. That is kind of the metric for anybody running for DPW chair, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I'm honored to have the support of leaders Neubauer and leader Hesselbein for my chair pick campaign, because they believe I am the candidate that can help them win that trifecta. And this is just, I think, you know, finally having fair maps, finally having a political environment where it really feels like people are waking up to the Trump administration and what the Republican agenda has been for the working class in this country and in this state. I really think this is a unique opportunity, but we don't have time to waste. Just like you said, Pat, you know, who knows what the future holds? So if all we have is 2 years, we have to make the most of it, and we have to take the shot while we have it. And I think that's 2026. We have to win big and send a message across this country, just like we did on April 1st by electing Susan Crawford to the Supreme Court. We can be a beacon for the entire country.
And that was the last thing I wanted to close on, was the note that Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor announced that she is going to be running for state Supreme Court next year against far-right Justice Rebecca Bradley. Again, it's a nonpartisan election, but increasingly these are nonpartisan in name only. Chris Taylor is a former Democratic legislator. I would imagine, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there are a whole lot of Democrats that are thrilled that Judge Taylor has announced for this race.
Count me as one of them. You know, I haven't heard of any other progressive candidates looking to hop into this. So looking forward to working hopefully with Chris Taylor next year to support her and her Supreme Court bid. And I think that ultimately, you know, Rebecca Bradley, far right is almost an understatement. She is by far the most radical Supreme Court justice on the bench and for the conservatives. And she is, you know, I think someone that we absolutely have to take down. Democrats cannot rest on their laurels. We have to expand that majority. She is just, you know, completely toxic.
And so look for that big race with Chris Taylor, and whether any other candidates get in, still many months to go. Devin Remiker, candidate for WisDems chair. Devin, good to connect with you again. Thank you so much. Safe travels.
Thanks for having me on.
Still to come, we'll hear from Joe Zepecki. That'll round out our interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair. But before we hear from Joe, a visit with State Senator Sarah Kieski about a new bill that's designed to protect affordable housing here in the state of Wisconsin. Hey, don't forget to sign up for our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a weekday newsletter, my Sunday morning politics newsletter, a new monthly sports newsletter. So much information. Check it all out at the website. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reporting from Chippewa Falls, up north, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Let's pause this Memorial Day to honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our nation.
While we think of this day as the unofficial beginning of summer, we know it is also a time of somber but inspiring memories. Memories of so many courageous Americans fought and died so that we could enjoy the blessings of this day.
That's former President Ronald Reagan. To those who never made it home, we remember you and we thank you. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. At the Capitol, legislation known as Braden's Law is ready for a vote in the State Assembly. It's named in honor of a Wisconsin teen who took his own life after falling victim to sextortion, which is soliciting intimate images from victims and threatening to release them if they don't pay up. Representative Brent Jacobson of Mosinee.
It sends a message that people need to stay away from our kids in Wisconsin. This is not a game. It's not something you're going to get away with. And when you are caught, you're going to have the full weight of the justice system.
The bill designates sextortion as a Class B felony, punishable by up to 60 years in prison. Jacobson says the measure has bipartisan support. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers shared a letter he sent to the Trump administration in an effort to protect the state's forest and forestry industry. According to a press release, the forestry products industry helps support around 126,000 jobs and contributes an estimated $42 billion to the state's economy. Wisconsin ranks first in paper production among all 50 states and exports over $850 million worth of paper products each year. The letter urges cooperation and protection for federal forestry programs. Following a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development, Governor Tony Evers has renewed calls for support from the state legislature. Republican state lawmakers removed over 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Governor Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration seeking to stop cuts to AmeriCorps. Days after announcing her candidacy in the 2026 Wisconsin Supreme Court election, Judge Chris Taylor has received the endorsement of three current justices and Justice-elect Susan Crawford. Justices Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and Janet Protasiewicz all expressed their support for Judge Taylor, highlighting her experience and commitment to ensuring everyone in the state gets a fair hearing under the law. Judge Taylor currently serves on the Court of Appeals and will challenge incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley for the state Supreme Court seat. Following another mild winter in Wisconsin, an environmental group says nearly every city they've studied has seen increasing average summer temperatures over the last 50 years. According to a WPR report, Climate Control recently released an analysis of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration since 1970, which showed an average temperature increase of over 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the summers. Milwaukee was among the cities the group studied and has seen an average summer temperature increase of nearly 3.5 degrees. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the Rare Plant Monitoring Program's 2025 Plant of the Year. This year, the agency is encouraging residents to plant milkweed in their yards. There are 13 native milkweed species in Wisconsin, with 5 of them listed as endangered, threatened, or under special concern. Milkweed is especially helpful for monarch butterflies, as the only plants the butterflies lay their eggs on and the only food the caterpillars eat. Residents can find native milkweed plants on the DNR website. The Bauer Gunnell Dalton VFW Post 2267 invites you to celebrate the true meaning of Memorial Day this Monday as they remember those veterans who never made it home. The day will begin with a parade stepping off at 10 in Richland Center. The parade will begin at the Richland Hospital parking lot at 3rd and Park Street and go down to Church Street. It will circle around and end at the Richland Center Cemetery. Commander Marge Freeman says the parade will have a number of displays.
We'll have the Richland Center High School band and probably another band there. The American Legion Auxiliary, their donkeys are supposed to be there to represent, and for their mascots, that's their mascots. There'll be other patriotic displays showing up.
If you would like to be in the parade, contact Commander Marge Freeman. The Memorial Day program will begin around 10:30 following the parade at the Richland Center Cemetery.
WRCO Bo Hendricks is the designated master of ceremonies. Our guest speaker is Greg Herbst. He is the Ithaca Schools principal superintendent. And then also we have Ethan Gauld will do the Gettysburg Address. And then Mara Delagrave will do the TAPS recognition after we honor our veterans with the 3 volleys of firing for the Military Honor Guard.
Following the program at the cemetery, the Women's Relief Corps water service will be held at the American Legion Post 13. In the case of inclement weather, the parade will not be held, but the programs will be held at the Richland Center High School beginning at 10. This Monday, Memorial Day, fly your U.S. flag at half staff from sunrise until noon, then raise it to full staff until sunset. Each Memorial Day, this is done to honor the men and women who have died while serving in the armed forces. All other flags flown alongside the U.S. flag should also be at half staff during this time. The Wisconsin State Patrol is joining law enforcement agencies across the state and nation to remind drivers and passengers of the life-saving value of wearing a seatbelt. Officers are stepping up seatbelt enforcement and education during the National Click It or Ticket campaign, running now through June 1st. Fewer motorists are buckling up in Wisconsin. A survey conducted in 2024 reported that approximately 89% of Wisconsin motorists wear a seatbelt, a decrease from 92% in 2023. Click It or Ticket aims to improve this percentage and encourage more motorists to buckle up. Wisconsin's primary seatbelt law allows law enforcement to stop and cite motorists for failing to wear a seatbelt. Penalties are higher for transporting unrestrained children and passengers can also be cited. Failure to fasten a seatbelt is among the most common traffic violations in Wisconsin. The Click It or Ticket campaign is set to coincide with Memorial Day, the first long holiday weekend of summer. Roads are especially busy during this time, and motorists can expect to see more officers on patrol, encouraging drivers and passengers to wear their seatbelts. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. As the weather is warming up and you are venturing out, you are reminded to be aware of ticks. Ticks survive the winter and are becoming more active as well. Civic Media's Brittany Merlo has more.
Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
Yeah, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. The other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
As the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today right around 72 with wind northeast becoming east at around 5 to 10. Tonight cloudy, our low 52 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's fair to say that Joe's got a thing or two to say about the bill that passed the House and the damage that it could do to people all across Wisconsin. Joe Zepecki, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing? Good to see your face. We missed you last week.
Well, thank you. It was great to get away. It is really great to be back. It's nice to have the sun out again. And we saw the note this morning that Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock is going to be the keynote speaker at the State Democratic Convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. Good get.
Oh, tremendous get. One of the most compelling and dynamic leaders within our party. You don't have to be religious to know that when you are listening to Rev Warnock, you are going to church. And so anybody who is not already signed up to attend the Wisconsin State Convention for the Democratic Party in the Wisconsin Dells on June 14th and 15th, don't miss out. You can still get your tickets, and you can still get a little bit of preaching in your soul. It'll be good for all of us.
And I don't doubt he's going to have some things to say about where they are in the federal budget process, which I hasten to add is far from a done deal. It now goes to the Senate, where Republicans there are not necessarily in alignment with Republicans in the House. But regardless, Joe, the final product probably isn't going to be great for a lot of folks in Wisconsin. But let's start with what we know, and that's what passed the House early this morning. And just how bad could this thing be?
I want to start by quoting the distinguished gentleman from, where is Tom Massey from? Kentucky? Thomas Massey last night on the floor said the following about this monstrosity. Quote, "We are not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We are putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight." End quote. And so that was one of the two Republicans who voted against this. There were other Republicans who took what is sure to go down in the annals of this country's history as profile and courage moments, where they voted present, which made it a 215 to 214 vote, which means that every single Republican member of Congress was the deciding vote for legislation that will make healthcare more expensive, make your energy bill more expensive, explode the debt, make it harder for people with low incomes to feed their families, all so Elon Musk can get another tax cut. And that is, you can't argue with any of that. And Republicans know it. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office have laid out the facts that millions of Americans will lose health care, that this bill is an incredible redistribution of income in this country, where those at the bottom will be hit the hardest and have a harder time getting by. And those at the very top, the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezos of the world, will get extraordinary benefits. So I guess my question is, what the hell is populist about any of that? About redistributing wealth from the working poor, from working families, from people working their tail off to get into the middle class, just so Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg can buy, I don't know, another Hawaiian island, another mega yacht. This is madness. And it is not what people who voted for Donald Trump voted for.
We're going to hammer this point a lot about how this isn't actual, the spending cuts aren't actually any kind of savings because they go to tax cuts, because we're going to take nothing for granted. All throughout 2024, I said, you know, people should know that Trump killed that immigration bill just so he could campaign on the issue. And yet it worked for him. Even though he killed the bill, he campaigned on the issue and he won on it. So how do Democrats avoid making that mistake again, where we point out the obvious, that this isn't going to you, it's going to millionaires and billionaires, and yet somehow I think everybody fears that Republicans are just going to get away with what Derek Van Orden just said, that somehow this is about cost savings when it's anything but.
Have you been watching Andor?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing on TV you've seen in quite some time, whether or not you're a Star Wars fan. But I want to share something remarkable. This is, of course, a spy thriller just before, you know, Luke Skywalker saves the galaxy. But Andor is this interregnum, and there's a speech from Mon Mothma, who is one of the leaders of the Rebel Alliance. And so for the first time in the last couple of weeks, people saw her speech to the Galactic Senate. And I want you to listen to this quote and tell me if any of it sounds familiar. The distance between what is said and what is known to be true has become an abyss. Of all the things at risk, the loss of an objective reality is perhaps the most dangerous. The death of truth is the ultimate victory of evil. When truth leaves us, when we let it slip away, when it is ripped from our hands, we become vulnerable to the appetite of whatever monster screams the loudest.
Well, if that doesn't describe what you see on C-SPAN every day, I don't know what does. I have to ask you where you are in the campaign for state Democratic Party chair. We had all the conventional or congressional district conventions. What you up to these days?
Working my tail off, running around like a head with its chicken cut off. I'll be up north next week, going up to Washera later today. Was in Ozaukee County last night. It's going great because people know that all is not well with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. People know that, as Bernie Sanders says, change never comes from the top down. And while, you know, we certainly are surprised that Ben Wickler went back on his word and commitment to stay out of this race, which no one made him do, by the way, he chose to do that on his own, and then a month into it decided he knows best. And frankly, I think they and I have been a little surprised by the response, which is people going, wait a minute, you said you were going to stay out, and it is the delegates to the convention who should decide this thing. So I'm feeling great picking up support every single day, and if you're going to convention, I'd be honored to earn your support as well.
Joe Specky's with us. We've been talking about his run for state party chair, and before we get back to that, I did want to ask you about one development during the week here, and that is Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former state legislator, announcing that she'll be running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Most likely, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley will be running for re-election as well. A lot of folks see that that matchup between Rebecca Bradley and Chris Taylor as, you know, the best possible. If you're a progressive, you want to see this election. I'm sure a lot of people on the right feel the same way about Chris Taylor. What's your early view on the way the race looks right now?
Well, I'm not sure that Chris Taylor will be the only candidate, but Chris is certainly a proven progressive with a track record. What I want to focus on is telling folks why this matters. I know it seems a little strange that 7 weeks after the last court race, we're at this again, right, with a 45-week campaign. Because we all just heard that after Susan Crawford won, we've locked in the progressive majority on the state court for a while. And we have. And here's why I would ask folks to buckle up and strap in and lock in and get ready to go again. That progressive majority is guaranteed through August of 2028. In November of 2028, there will be a presidential election in Wisconsin. We have seen Republicans try to steal elections before, try to strike at the very heart of our democracy. And if you care about that, if you care about the will of the people being reflected through elections, we need you to, you know, saddle up and ride one more time to ensure that progressives control the Wisconsin State Supreme Court through the next presidential election. So buckle up, folks. We got to do this all over again.
And, you know, coming out of the convention next month, you know, whatever the outcome of the chair's race, that will certainly be top of mind for, you know, the next state party chairs, knowing that before even the midterms, before we wonder if Governor Evers is running or isn't running for a third term, that there is this state Supreme Court race that's going to be coming up first. So we got an overall update on your run for chair, about Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in the race. You've been making these tours around the state, and I've asked you all three of you, the same kind of, you know, don't let yourself be boxed in question. You know, Devin Remiker as the party insider or the Madison person. And like he said yesterday, he's actually from the La Crosse area and he's worked around the state. I'm sure William Garcia tomorrow will say, don't just think of me as the outstate candidate from La Crosse. I've done, you know, a whole lot and know a lot about the party. So likewise, we have to ask the question again. Joseph Pecky's the guy in Milwaukee. He's from outside the party. You know, he's done this work as a strategist, consultant. You know, how do you as well break out of that pigeonhole box and say, hey, look, I'm the full product over here?
Well, nobody ever succeeds when they try to put me in a box.
Okay, baby. Nobody's putting you in a corner either, right. Let me tell you.
That's right. No, I think our differences as candidates are most clearly visible when you look at the totality of our experience. There's only one candidate out of the three of us who has worked in other states, and that's me. I've worked in, you know, on the ground in places like Nebraska and Iowa and Nevada. There's only one candidate who has worked nationally, you know, in the headquarters of a federal agency managing 30 staff, 26 of whom are career federal civil servants, and then across 68 district offices around the country at the U.S. Small Business Administration for President Barack Obama. You know, Devin and William are great Democrats and good friends, and their experience is not equivalent in terms of what I have done and the experience that I will bring to bear on this. And so that's the case I'm making to delegates, is that, you know, talk is cheap and easy, and what actually matters is making change. Making change is really hard. And listen, if folks think that everything is A-OK and hunky-dory within the Democratic Party, there's a candidate in this race who is, you know, whose message is stay the course and who comes from inside the party. I don't think that is how Democrats are feeling. And if I thought that the right approach to curing what ails our party was to have the same people in the same positions of leadership in the same rooms, I wouldn't be doing this, right? Because if that's what the appetite for Democrats was, then I would have said, okay, then those candidates, you know, that candidate's in the race. But I don't think that's what people want, and that's what I'm continuing to hear around the state.
Well, and that's where I don't mean to take it in a negative direction, but I'm going to wrap up by asking this. When you talk to people, what, among party members, what is their top fear or worry or concern about switching chairs, and what do you tell them? What are their concerns?
Well, I don't think there is any concern, right? I mean, like, everyone is worried about the ability to sustain the fundraising challenge, but none of us know whether we'll be able to raise money like Ben Wickler until we're in the chair. But what people are asking is, you know, and concerned about is a top-down approach, a one-size approach, you know, fits all, that doesn't work for county parties, right? And so that is a real frustration among the grassroots of our party, and real challenges with how it comes to communicating our messages and our values, right? Our brand is busted. The communications aren't landing. People know that we need to be better and do better. And the more I talk about the ways in which we can do that, the more support I'm getting, and that's the case that I'm going to continue to make, which is we have to make changes. Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's things within the party that are going well and going strong, but there's also a ton of work to do. We've lost two out of the last three presidential elections. Ron Johnson is still our United States Senator. So we've got work to do. And if you're listening to this and you agree with me, come on board. We'd love to have your support.
Joseph Pecky, thanks as always. Safe travels to you. Talk again soon.
Thanks, Pat.
Before we take our final break, a reminder that on this Memorial Day, the Milwaukee Brewers are back home for a quick three-game series with the Boston Red Sox before they take off for another road trip. Today's game is at 1:10, so you can catch the pregame at 12:35 on several civic media stations. Then it's a 6:40 game on Tuesday. Then another day game Wednesday against the Red Sox. 12:10 is the first pitch there before leaving for Philadelphia. I'm Pat Kreitlow in Chippewa Falls, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow mornings on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450. We take time out this morning for an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee. Yesterday, home talent baseball games included in the northern section. Ashton 8-3 over Black Earth. Reedsburg beat Sauk Prairie 3-2. Ashton 12, Wanakee 2. Middleton 8-0 over Cazenovia. Cross Plains 4 and Black Earth 3. Columbus a winner against DeForest, 6-0. Monona 2-1 over Rio. Poinette 8, Cottage Grove 7. Montello beat Wisconsin Dells 9-3. In the southeast section, Evansville over Stoughton 10-2. Albion 4, Footville 3. Fort Atkinson 3-1 over Jefferson. McFarland 13, Lake Mills 10. And Utica over Cambridge 5-2. Games going on today in the western section, all starting at 1 o'clock. Muscadet will be at Ridgeway. Dodgeville at Argyle for a holiday game today. Wyota at Blanchardville. Schulzburg-Benson at Hollandale. Arena is home against Pine Bluff-Mount Horeb. And Belleville at Verona. High school baseball on Saturday. River Valley was a winner against Appleton West, 8-5. Edgewood 3-2 over Platteville. Belleville beat Wisconsin Heights 5-3 and Oregon 2-1 over Mount Horeb. The high school baseball postseason begins
Coming up on Thursday, Division Four games include Lafarge at Weston, Kickapoo at DeSoto, and Potosi-Cassville at Boscobel. It's Winnewick Center going to Ithaca, Wazika Steuben at Highland, and North Crawford will host Hillsboro as well in D4. Also, Southwestern will be home against Argyle Blackhawk Thursday. In the openers for Division Three baseball, Riverdale will be at Lancaster. Mineral Point hosts River Valley, and Darlington and New Glarus, Belleville at Prairie du Chien, and Wisconsin Heights will host Iowa Grant. Dodgeville and Fenimore, along with Cuba City, have byes in that particular half sectional. In Division II games coming up on Thursday, Richland Center will be at Lodi. Also, it will be Mount Horeb hosting Monroe. Adams Friendship is home against the Dells. Mauston at Sauk Prairie and Platteville at Portage in D3 games. The WIAA softball tournament continues tomorrow with games including Ithaca at home against Lafarge, DeSoto is at Seneca, Hillsboro will be entertaining Kickapoo, and Winnewick Center is at Brookwood. It's also Pepinalma hosting New Lisbon and Royal hosting Cochrane Fountain City, Pecatonica at Belmont, Wazika Steuben hosts Judah Albany, Potosi-Cassville at Barneveld, and Highland at River Ridge. In Division Four softball tomorrow, it will be Fenimore hosting Wisconsin Heights, Riverdale at Mineral Point, Argyle Blackhawk at Iowa Grant, Darlington is at Cuba City. And also in action going on in Division Three tomorrow, it will be Dodgeville hosting Westby, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Lancaster will be at Richland Center at 5 tomorrow afternoon. GET is home against Aquinas. Viroqua Youth Initiative is at Prairie du Chien. And in girls softball pairings coming up for Division II tomorrow, La Crosse Logan at Mount Horeb, Reedsburg will be at Portage, Platteville at West Salem. The WIAA soccer tournament has been seeded. River Valley again with a great season. Now they are finishing out with a second seed in the half sectional. So they'll have a first round bye and will play the winner of the Aquinas and Adams Friendship game. The tournament begins on Tuesday, June 3rd for high school soccer. Richland Center will make a trip to Mauston for its first game coming up starting next Tuesday. And in soccer pairings for Division III, Dodgeville Mineral Point will be at Delavan-Darien, and that's a second-round matchup coming up on Thursday, June 5th. Edgerton will be at Platteville-Lancaster, and Prairie du Chien River Ridge-Seneca will also travel to Mount Horeb. Brewers second baseman Bryce Terang followed a game-tying double with another two-bagger driving in the eventual run Sunday. Milwaukee beat the Pirates 6-5. Jared Koenig got the win in relief. Trevor Miguel with a number nine save. A first-inning home run by Pittsburgh center fielder O'Neill Cruz was the largest big shot for a while. Hardest hit ball since StatCast started tracking such things 10 years ago at more than 122 miles an hour. The Brewers take on Boston today with Chad Patrick getting the start. In other action from the majors yesterday, it was San Francisco over Washington 3-2. The Cubs got a win against Cincinnati 11-8. St. Louis 4, Arizona 3. San Diego 5-3 over Atlanta. The Mets 3 and the Dodgers 1. In the American League, Detroit 5-0 over Cleveland. Baltimore 5, Boston 1. Tampa Bay 13-0 over Toronto. Kansas City 2, Minnesota 1. Texas 5-4 over the White Sox. And Houston beat Seattle 5-3. Interleague play, the Yankees 5-4 over Colorado. The Athletics 5, Philadelphia 4. Miami 3-0 over the LA Angels. Two former Wisconsin Badgers are listed among the best NFL players from the last 25 years. Pro Football Focus has released the list that includes former offensive lineman Joe Thomas and former two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year J.J. Watt. Thomas received the highest pass-blocking grade of any offensive lineman during that time. Of the five highest season sack totals, Watt is number three on the list. He's not committing to signing a one-day contract so he can retire as a Packer just yet. But Aaron Rodgers seems secure in his Green Bay legacy. All of the strife that marked his departure seems to be gone, at least in his mind. Sports Illustrated reports that the future Hall of Fame quarterback says if the Packers approached him for a ceremonial signing and retirement, he probably would. He appears ready to finally sign with the Steelers for the 2025 NFL season. Karl Anthony Towns scored 20 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks rallied from 20 points down to beat the Indiana Pacers 106-103 in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Karl Anthony Towns scored 20 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter Sunday as the Knicks rallied from 20 points down to beat the Indiana Pacers 106-100 in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Ross Chastain passed William Byron with six laps left and won the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday at Charlotte Motor Speedway, becoming the first driver to win the event after starting at the back of the field. I'm Phil Nee. That's a look at sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings here on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450, a Civic Media station.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel launching more airstrikes over the weekend, killing scores of Palestinians and drawing international condemnation.
What we're seeing is increasingly Israel's allies being critical. Nine children, one devastating attack, killed in their home as one strike, and their mother, who's a pediatrician, was caring for people at a nearby hospital, the children ranging from just 7 months to 12 years old.
ABC's The In Panel, Australia's Anthony Albanese calling Israel's blockade of food and medicine completely unacceptable. President Trump on social media saying he's not happy with Russian President Vladimir Putin after an overnight missile and drone strike in Ukraine that was described as the largest in the three-year-old war. The ball now in the Senate's court in the marathon race to pass the budget bill that President Trump has been pushing for. Nine people arrested so far for helping some of the 10 inmates who escaped from a New Orleans jail elude capture. Five of those men are still out. This is ABC News.